everyone. I want to thank you today for tuning in again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Look for the Lord to return. His return is very soon. Be looking for him. Yes, continue looking for him. For one day that trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Be on watch and on lookout for the Lord's return. For the Lord loves us. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 reads, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You know, suddenly the Lord will return without warning, without expectation. Many people will be caught off guard. But if you're looking for his return, and you're busy doing what he would have you to be doing, it's going to be so much better. You won't be caught off guard. And I thank the Lord for his handiwork. Remember, the just shall live by his faith. Faith is required. They're going to try to explain away what happened to all the people that disappeared. When that trumpet blows, when the trump of the archangel blows, and all of God's people be caught away, the Lord is going to return and judge the earth. He's going to return and take back what is his. A few broadcasts ago, we talked about how the earth is under a lease. When Adam's lease runs out, then Jesus Christ is going to come back and reign upon the earth. Now, in Genesis, it talks about the earth lease because it's sort of in a mystery, because the Lord worked 6 days and on the seventh day he rested. Well, he gave Adam 6 days to run the earth, and on the seventh day, Jesus Christ is going to run the earth. And it's going to go down just like the Father said. It's not going to be any different. Now, he's not going to judge his people with the world. He's coming back to judge the world system for rejecting his only begotten Son. And for the last 2,000 years, Jesus Christ came on the scene, and he gave everybody a welcome invitation to heaven. He provided a way for us to go. And the only way we could go is with the Savior, a mediator, Jesus Christ. He paid for our sin. He paid our sin debt. He paid the sin debt for every man and every woman and child upon the earth. Every boy and every girl, everybody. They didn't earn it, they didn't deserve it, but he did it for us. And many people reject it. And some people reject it because other people interfered and told lies. But the world system will be judged. You know, when the Lord returns, and Jesus Christ is going to judge it. And he's powerful. He's going to do it. And he's coming back. But he's not going to judge his people with the world. So when that trumpet sounds, the trumpet of the archangel sounds, everybody that has believed on Jesus Christ from their heart, without doubt, they will be caught away. You won't even see them anymore. And the scientists are going to have to figure out how they're going to explain that. And I know that miracles are going to happen, because in the verses we covered last time, or the last few broadcasts, it talks about how in verse 24, for instance, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall even deceive the very elect." the world and the world system is going to witness the miracles done by the church before we leave. And then they're going to see people disappear and hear about people that they know and care about. They just disappear. And all the young children under the age of accountability will disappear as well. Because little children and babies are in the kingdom of God. So they disappear with the Christians. They're not going to be judged with this world. These things are serious. So when you study the Word of God, count on His Word to happen because it's true. You're just going to have to believe it and take it at face value by faith. Faith is required. It's going to happen whether you believe it or not. But without faith, it's impossible for you to benefit from it. I'm going to say that again. It's going to happen whether you believe it or not. But your faith is required for you to benefit from it. Now, last week we talked about, we're going to start at verse 32 this week in Matthew chapter 24. We covered part of this last week, but we're going to look at verse 32 and continue until we run out of time again. Matthew 24, verse 32 reads, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Let me pause a moment. The Word of God is so certain that it can't pass away. Heaven and earth can pass away before His Word fails. The Lord revealed His words through holy men of God. They didn't always understand in full what they prophesied. And in many ways, they looked for what they prophesied. For instance, Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah coming in Isaiah chapter 7. And he talked about it in chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 53. He prophesied about Christ's return, how He would come. In other chapters, he talked about where He would live, what He would do. And even in the temple, they left an empty chair that nobody would sit in. And Christ came and sat in that seat. And He quoted the scriptures that Isaiah wrote many years before. And they knew that nobody could sit there except the Son of God. And He sat there and quoted that scripture and stopped reading and closed the book. And then He said, "This day it is fulfilled in your ears." So prophecy does come to pass. Prophecy is not open-ended. It has to happen exactly like God said will happen. We're not following God haphazardly. We're not following the wind. We're following our living God. We're believing what He said. And He's the God who cannot lie. Remember this. If He'll keep covenant even against His own desires, such as the lease of man. People always say, well, if there be God, if God exists, how come He let this and that happen? Understand, He can't come and take back that lease. That lease has to run its course. The lease of Adam has to run its course. God has no authority to interfere. It's just like the analogy I gave a few weeks ago. If I own some property, a storefront, I own the property, the building, and everything, and I lease it out to somebody for a year, while that person holds that lease, I can't come and tell him how to run his business. I can't come and tell him how to run his store. If he's doing things I don't like, I can't come and tell him how to run his store. For instance, I don't like wine. I don't like beer. I don't like alcohol. And I wouldn't want him to sell alcohol in my store. But if I lease the building to him, he can sell whatever he wants to sell for that year. And there's nothing I can do about it. He can, you know, if I didn't put it in the contract, I can't come back and tell him what to do with his lease, with my building that he's got control over for that year. But when the lease is up, I can come and kick him out and stop the alcohol business, and I can sell whatever I want to sell in it. Well, that's the same situation God is in. People sell drugs, they do all kind of evil, and God can't stop them because man has the lease here. Now, God can do something about some things because he can work through people who pray. So if God intervenes, he has to do it legally. He has to find somebody that can believe him if he wants to change something. And he can do that. He became a man. He had to cut covenant with a man in order to become a man and die for us. He was willing to die for us. And he found a man that would follow him and cut covenant with him. If you study the scriptures, everything was done legally. This thing is done. It's set. The Lord doesn't have to start wars to protect the covenant anymore, because the covenant has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. On the day he died on the cross for us, he said, "It is finished." See, when he prophesied Matthew 24, it wasn't finished yet. But the verse we started with, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth his leaf, ye shall know that summer is near. So likewise, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." Now watch verse 34 and 35. "Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And it's so certain that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." What is he talking about? This was 2,000 years ago and everything hadn't been fulfilled. But see, remember, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That sealed the deal. It didn't matter that it would be 2,000 years later, because he legally did what was necessary. And now the lease can be finished, but at the end of it, he's going to come back just like he said he would. And remember, he paid the cost. He paid your cost. He paid my cost. And every person on the earth, even people of other religions, even people that don't agree, he paid their cost. But they can't benefit if they don't believe what he did for them. You can't benefit from what he did for you unless you believe it and apply it to yourself. At the Passover of Exodus, when the children of Israel left Egypt, the night of the Passover, they had to put blood on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses. And if they did that, the angel of death would not go in and kill their firstborn son or daughter, and also their firstborn livestock. But if anybody disobeyed in Egypt and didn't put blood on the doorposts and lintels, the angel of death would go inside their house and kill their firstborn child, and then go outside and kill their firstborn livestock. So Egypt suffered great loss. And they were so emotionally hurt by this that there was no more fight in them to stop Israel from leaving Egypt. Even Pharaoh, he said, "Let them go, go." He gave up. The 9 times before that, he always went back on his word. But the 10th time that happened, the 10th plague that happened, the death of his firstborn son, there was no more fight in him. And Israel left. It took days before his fight came back. And he sent the armies to stop Israel, and then he lost his whole army because they walked on dry ground. And then when they got to the other side, the waters came back and tore up their chariots. And they found chariot wheels where they crossed. You can look it up on the internet. It's true. The Lord did these things. It's certain. Because God uses the faith of man to legally do things necessary so that to keep covenant with the covenant he made with Father Abraham, he had to do it right. But when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And then he went to hell, the Lord's part, paid our sin debt, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He legally gave us the right to never be trapped by hell. Hell can't hold you if you believe on Jesus Christ. It just can't. Demons have no authority over your life like they do those that don't believe on Jesus Christ. When a man that don't believe on Jesus Christ, when he die, the evil angels, the demons, they take him straight to hell against their will. They don't even know why they went. They're surprised it happened. And I've seen it happen because the Lord had, in 1986, January of 1986, I went to hell in a dream. I was there. And I saw real people at real time falling in it. And the Lord allowed me to see it. You'll be snatched away and don't understand why is God mad at me? He's not. But you can't go to heaven because you didn't get saved. If you didn't get saved. And you'll be trapped in hell. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. We got to believe on him, on Jesus Christ. The words of God is certain and true. Live forever. Believe on Jesus Christ today. You don't know what may happen tomorrow. Let God do his work in your life. Get to know him. When I got saved, I had tried all kind of things, but I wasn't satisfied with what I was doing. And I wanted better. And I thought about the love of God. And I said, I said, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry I put it off. Please save me, and I believe on your son, Jesus Christ." And he'd save me. And he made me new. And I didn't want to sin anymore. It's good. And I don't want anybody to miss out. These things are certain and so, folks. This is a done deal. It is finished. Now look at the time. We are out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to teach those who love and trust his words of truth. He'll continue to teach you and give you revelation. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was sent to guide you into all truth. As long as you will listen to what he has to say, he will do it. He'll teach you as long as you want to be taught. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Until next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.